is 9:30. It is time to begin a little half hour of sports knowledge. We like to call KCIM Sports Rewind. Jeff Mason going to provide the content. Me, hanging out here for the half hour.
Comedy relief.
There you go. There you go. The parsley on the side of the plate, man. That's what I am.
There you go.
Right here on Rewind. Where do you want to start? I mean, we got a ton of football to get to,
but we
could talk a little college football. All right.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to start.
Okay.
Give me the rank these games in college football as far as what the headlines are coming out of it. Texas, Ohio State, Alabama losing to Florida State, TCU wiping out North Carolina, or Miami defeating Notre Dame. Rank them in order of biggest headlines.
For me, it would be the Ohio State-Texas game only because you have two teams that I think will see each other in the postseason or potentially see each other in the postseason. I think you got two top five teams that probably played each other there, and no surprise. Price that the home team ended up winning. So
yeah, I think it's between that and Alabama, and I like the Alabama headline a little bit, the fact that Alabama's very tradition heavy. They win a lot of games every year, and then here comes Florida State, who last year kind of fell off a cliff to start the year. And
they were
comes
awful
in and,
last year, only two wins.
Yeah, they turn it around and decide to beat the number 8 team in the nation to open up the year.
And then you look at the TCU game last night. That's what you get when you're the national media and all you can do is talk about one guy all the time and you forget to even mention the other team. You don't do any homework on them for the broadcast, and then they come out with a chip on their shoulder and thump you. And then the national media has no idea what to talk about during the game because everything they had prepped for didn't pan out. Yeah.
Because Bill Belichick's girlfriend didn't show up to the game?
Yeah.
What was that? I don't know if she did or not.
She knew better.
That, you say that's ahead of Miami-Notre Dame?
No. Well, I asked you
to rank it. It was simple instructions.
Yeah.
Why can't you follow instructions?
I hate both of those programs, so I don't really.
At least I miss the days when it was the Catholics versus the convicts.
Yeah.
You know, in that ball game.
It was a good football game, though. I will admit, for you know, it was one of those games, kind of like the Texas-Ohio State game. It's like, who do I root for? Because I really don't like either one of these programs.
What's your third and fourth ones?
Well, Miami, I think, is probably fourth. I don't know. I didn't grow up in the era where Miami was really good. When I grew up, it was kind of Miami was eh.
Yeah.
And then they brought out the turnover chain, and that's when I kind of liked them. And then the only thing I will say from that game, the catch from the Miami receiver for that touchdown in the first half, that was crazy.
That was a great one-handed catch. But yeah, I thought the least headlinable one was TCU North Carolina. I mean, Bill Belichick, he didn't know anything about his team. He brought in 70 new players.
Yep.
And it just, you know, but where's the excitement in that?
Right.
I don't know if North Carolina fans even knew what their players were, and they were all walking out in the third quarter.
Yeah. Well, I think they just anticipated Belichick would come in because he had won for a while in the NFL. And not to say he's a great coach. I'm not, it's not going to sound like I'm taking things away from him. I thought he did a good job when he was at Cleveland years and years ago. But he won a lot with Tom Brady. Didn't win so much after Tom Brady left at New England. So, you know, to just think he was going to walk into North Carolina and build them immediately into a, you know, an ACC and a national power just means you weren't paying a lot of attention. So,
yeah. All right, T.O., are you ready for my least favorite sports person of the week?
Okay.
It is Matt Campbell of the Iowa State Cyclones. Congratulations, Matt.
What?
He blew up my USD Coyotes over the weekend. Come on. And then he goes out and lets Conrady do this.
Here we go. Conrady, the long field goal try. End over end. It's good. Kyle Conrady hit a school record 63-yard field goal. Unbelievable.
Yeah, thanks for that salt in the wound there, Matt. Right before halftime, really? You had to do that? If he does that against Iowa, I'd be stunned. But it was USD, and they were dominating the game. So he's like, yeah, go ahead, kick. I don't care.
Well, now that he showed that he has the range, if you're in range, I would try it this coming weekend. But
I would not do that against Iowa.
No?
Not a chance.
You think they block it?
Their special teams are way too good.
Yeah. The thing I thought was interesting with that kick, though, was his reaction and the smile he had on the sidelines after he knew that it was going to be good. You don't see coaches have that kind of a reaction very often.
Least favorite person of the week.
That had to be hard for you because you cheer for Iowa State pretty much every week, but that one week
that
of the year,
that is the only time I will ever cheer against Iowa State is right there if they played USD, and so it's the rare time they would ever do that. So that's out the window, but Iowa Hawkeyes didn't look great. great, Mason.
What are you talking about? It's the greatest show on turf, part two with Iowa this year.
Did I see that Cade McNamara is still playing college football?
Yeah, I think
somewhere?
It's like UTEA or something weird. And it was him and the North Carolina quarterback from last year battling out for week one. I'm like, that's got to be the battle of two of the worst quarterbacks from Division I football last year.
Gronowski made his debut. I mean, I don't know if he's in a win, a lose-lose situation there at Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, you look good and everyone says you're playing Albany. You look bad and everyone says, well, you're playing Albany and you look bad. So, I mean, and then I thought he got hurt when he had the double leg whatever going on in the end zone. I was like, well, there goes our quarterback for the season.
Ouch. It's rough days right now. They didn't look good, but, you know, it's that whole week one, week two thing.
Yep.
You know, they're going to make vast improvements. Fox Big Noon kickoff is coming to Ames on Saturday for that game. It kicks off at 11 a.m., so, quick predictions. What do you think?
Iowa State by 40.
Mason?
Realistically, Iowa. And then I think it's going to be pretty close game, though.
I think it's going to be pretty close. I think maybe a 3 or 4 point game. I think Iowa State has better offense. Their defense has improved. They've got they have two games under their belt already.
Right.
So I think that gives them a big advantage.
Yeah, and I think it'll be tight. It'll probably be low scoring. I would say 20 to 14, 20 to 17, somewhere in there for Iowa State. So.
Yeah, defenses are too good those ones. Yeah. There you go. There's our little chat about college football going on. Now we got the pros. And by the way, why does the NFL hate America? They literally hate America. They're making us watch the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night.
You're kidding.
Oh, Cowboys at the Eagles.
Ugh.
It's going to get ugly.
Well, hopefully the Eagles stump them, and then it'll be enjoyable.
Micah Parsons will be laughing.
Yeah, what a crazy situation that is.
No kidding.
I don't like that at all. I'm a Bears fan. I thought this was the year where he could possibly sneak out 10 games and beat the Packers, and then I see that you add another Infinity Stone to a team that I hate. So I'm like, why? Of all teams,
we have
why
that
the
in
Packers?
Common. We both hate the Packers.
And I'm like, of all teams, why the Packers to give Micah Parsons to? Trade him to the AFC. Or trade him to somebody that you can get more out of. They got Kenny Clark and two first-round picks because Jerry Jones said that Kenny Clark stuffs the run better. I'm like, I don't know if he's blind to who Micah Parsons is.
Tell you, I don't hate that trade for Dallas.
No, it could be the next Herschel Walker trade for Dallas.
Yeah, they get a lot of instead picks. Of giving this guy a monster contract and having that and Dak Prescott taking up 50% of your payroll.
Yep.
I mean, you get two first-round picks, some cheap young talent, if you do it right. But I don't think Jerry Jones will do it right.
No, he doesn't have Jimmy Johnson to help him this time.
No, not at all. So I don't hate the trade for them. It's just what they do with it from here.
I will say this. I learned something about Mason today. I did not know that he was a big Avengers fan, but the moment he threw out Infinity Stones.
I'll tell you, that's one thing you'll never know about me. I like the Marvel stuff a lot.
You do? Okay.
All right. I already know that I'm going to disagree with you on the Bears thing. I grew up with Bears fans in my family, and man, that is the one team that my Vikings cannot lose to on Monday night.
Trust me. The last time the Bears were successful was a couple days after when I was born. I haven't seen them be successful since.
All right. Well, let's keep that streak going, shall we?
Are you two
going
to get along on the Tuesdays after you play?
We'll see next Rewind how that goes. I think JJ is going to show up for this one. I think he's going to show out.
Yeah, they're Monday night next week, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that'll be a great Tuesday morning.
Got to wait to every other game before we finally get to see JJ McCarthy take the field. Let's talk high school football. Biggest headline coming out of the weekend. What do you think, Mason?
There was a lot of them. I think Audubon beating Remsen St. Mary's the way they did is up there. And then I think the way that Glidden Rawlson had won is up there. They kind of walk it off. And they were down 20-6 going into the fourth quarter. They put up 16 in the fourth quarter with a last-second touchdown and two-point conversion and kind of stunned St. Edmunds in that way. And they walk it off to win 22-20.
Yeah, I was going to go with the Audubon game. I know St. Mary's probably not what they were a year ago when they won the state championship. They graduated.
I was going to say, they must have graduated a bunch.
They did.
Not to take anything away from Audubon.
No, but this is the St. Mary's program that every year is really, really good. Mm-hmm. So you don't expect to see them just get absolutely annihilated. But, you know, in talking with Sean Burks, they ran 13 plays and scored over 40 points in the first half.
Oof-da.
On the offensive side of the ball. Their drives were like two play, three play. Yeah. Three play, four play, or something like
that. Made it look easy.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that just screams how good Audubon's going to be this year, but at the same time, it's still a shocker to see a perennial top five team get just absolutely annihilated in week one.
Yep. Nice to see South Central Calhoun bouncing back with a nice win week one, 20-14.
And that's a good win over a good program in Earlham. If I remember right, they scored, what, about 5-6 minutes to go to take the lead there?
Yeah, it was back and forth. I think it was like 7-0 and then 7-7, then 14-7, 14-14. Then Earlham had scored, and then 4 minutes left in the game. When it was 14-14, 4 minutes left, they had scored on a run play there and then kind of held them on defense.
Yeah, so a big win for them. And, you know, for Kemper, you go out and you get a win over a ranked team. You find some things to work on, too many penalties. Secondary gave up, the way it sounds, you know, some stuff. They gave up some running plays to a very talented quarterback. And
I say, you gave up 28 points. Yeah. That's not like Kemper.
No, tackling probably was an issue in week one. Sounds like it was a little bit of an issue in their scrimmage as well. So I'm sure that'll be something that they focus on going into their game at Algona this week. And then the heartbreak for Carroll High. You hate to have, you know, a game turn out the way it did for them. Chance to, you know, win. They're up 15-14. Gilbert lines up for a field goal and misses it with about a minute to go in the game. And Carroll High gets called for a penalty that gives Gilbert the first down. They turn that first down into a touchdown in the closing seconds to win that one by a final of 20-15. And Carroll did have a chance. Return the kickoff after that down to the Gilbert 38, but were not able to get the ball into the end zone. So a tough loss for them in a game that they probably felt that they should have had. And you tip your cap to head coach Craig Rowetter. When I did the interview with him on Saturday morning, he pretty much just said, I take this loss completely on myself. You know, we had too many guys on the field, and that's on me, you know, for that kick. And he goes, I told the guys after the game, you won this game. I'm the one that lost it for you. And then that's big for a coach to, you know, put all of that on his own shoulders.
Yeah, but those are the mistakes that make happen week one.
Yep.
That maybe you don't make in week two.
Yep.
So that's a costly one, but against a good Gilbert team, Mason. Yeah.
I mean, Gilbert get their quarterback back in Connor Rash, and they take the Ames quarterback out of Ames, and they put him as their running back in their set. And I think, you know, for Camden King, it's his first varsity start ever, and he plays two of the biggest positions with the starting cornerback and starting quarterback. For the Tigers, they go out there and you lose by only 5, and it's a kind of last-minute thing there. But hats off to Carroll there to keep it close. The other thing I wanted to bring up is in the Audubon game, when I looked at their drive chart, they scored on every possession except for the final possession of the game.
Yep.
Where they had touchdowns the entire way down, 2 defensive touchdowns. That was a fumble return for a TD and an interception turn for a TD. So that's, for me, that was kind of where that headline came from.
Well, and their secondary was so good last year, and they graduated everybody pretty much. So it's nice to see them get a pick six, you know, and show that the secondary maybe not going to drop off. I know in talking with Sean Burks during the offseason, he really felt like this team had a chance to be very special, kind of indicated it might be the most talented and best team physically and stuff that they've had, probably since their team that played in the championship game several years ago. So I think they're really high. Two other games that we haven't kind of hit on yet. Interesting one down at Coon. They were as explosive as Audubon was. Got up 60-0 in the first half. I think, if I remember right, Ethan Bauer had like 4 carries. And Caden Oswald, who switched to quarterback this year, had 3 carries. They both averaged over 20 yards per carry and stuff. So they're up 60-0 at halftime. And Siouxland Christian decides during the halftime that they're not going to be able to finish the game. So they played just one half of that game the other night and were not able to finish the second half.
Yeah, typing that up, I think Caden Oswald had 3 TDs from the quarterback position, and then Ethan Bauer had 3 rushing touchdowns and 2 receiving touchdowns in that first half. And so I'm like, I don't know what clicked that night, but I know that the connection between those two was really strong for that first half there. And then unfortunately, you don't get to have a second half, so you don't get to kind of see. As a coach, I can see why, you know, you're up 60-0 and Siouxland Christian obviously doesn't want to have anyone hurt or anything happen there, so maybe it's just not worth it for them. But for Coon Rapids, you lose out on a half of film that you could look at and kind of see what you need to fix going into week 2.
You need that game experience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's at. And IKM Manning gets a good win in week 1 at the expense of East Sac County and Arweva. Just didn't have it on Friday night.
Yeah, we'll start. I did the East Sac IKM Manning game with Carson Schmidt not playing for East Sac County right now. You took away their leading rusher and leading receiver coming back from last season. That really hurt them offensively. I'm not saying they win the game if he plays, but I think they're probably more competitive offensively. Weston Juulin was making his first ever start. I think the thing that surprised me a little bit was that how Ikam Manning won the trenches. ESAC was, you know, considered to have a strong offensive and defensive line coming back this year, but I think Ikam Manning really dominated the trenches and won that game in the trenches, so that'll be something that ESAC will have to focus on. For Ikam Manning, Ben Ramsey looks really strong. Seems to be reading defenses very well. I thought made some great decisions. The running game with Davis Rasmussen and Ben Ramsey and Ashton Arenholtz looked really, really sharp. So, and then their offensive line, as I mentioned, really controlled the game. So I thought it was a really, really well-played game for Ikam Manning. Brennan Morris made two interceptions, returned one for a touchdown. It got called back, but still two interceptions. They had three in the ballgame. So just a dominant performance for Ikam Manning. And then, you know, I typed up the story on the Arweva game against Booyer Valley. Got off to a slow start. Booyer Valley used their size and physicality up front to be able to get their running game going. And once Arweva got behind, they just were never able to kind of get back into it. Jonathan Rieselman, their starting quarterback, did go down with an injury in that game. I haven't gotten an update from Coach yet on how he's doing, but I know Coach was concerned because I know when he interviewed with Todd Danner for the Scoreboard Show Friday night, he told everybody if you have a chance to sit down and say some prayers for Jonathan to do that. So hopefully the injury is not severe, but that's mm-hmm. the last that we've heard. So
yeah, you hate that week one
yes.
coming out with that kind of injury and things like that. So again, week one in the books, and we have our sack of the game from Market on 30, of course. Our winner this week is Sarah Smith from Arcadia. Congratulations, Sarah. You win a free sack of groceries. Who had our sack of the week?
Well, it was a split sack. Ty Mulbauer and Tanner Hahn from Carroll High got a sack together in that game against Gilbert. And you know, it's interesting. That was the only sack between mm-hmm. the three games that we broadcasted this past Friday night. So congratulations to those two guys for getting the only sack that we had in our three broadcasts.
And congratulations, Sarah Smith.
Yes.
You get the free sack of groceries from Market on 30.
It's the Market on 30 Sack of the Game, announced every Tuesday morning between 9:30 and 10 on KCIM Sports Rewind. Sports director Jeff Blankman will announce the high school football sack of the game, and you can take home a sack of free groceries from the Market on 30 when you register in-store.
All right, let's look ahead to week two in high school football. We got Spencer at Carroll. That's the game right here on KCIM. Mason, you're going to be with Tom Hawkap on that one. Nick Brinks taking a long road trip up to Algona for the Kemper-Algona matchup. And Jeff, you've got Glidden-Ralston Arweva over on KKRL. Let's talk about the matchups in week two.
We'll start with that Kemper-Algona one. That should be a terrific matchup. You know, Kemper played well on Friday, but I think can play better than what they did and cut back on the penalties. Algona's going to be really, really good. You said that you think their quarterback's the younger brother of the backup at Iowa State.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at that team, and Algona's ranked in 3A. Obviously, class-wise, Kemper being 2A and ranked number one there, but I think that one's going to be something where, for Coach Steinkamp, you look at that and you say, if we can go in there and pick up a win, that shows how good we're going to be this year. But if we go in there and we keep it close as well, I think that you hang your head on that and you say, there's stuff to work on, but we can go into the next week with kind of a high hopes for the year.
And then for Carroll High, how do you bounce back after a heartbreaking loss?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my guess is
it's an early season test.
Yep. Knowing that group and how focused they were coming into this season, I think you're going to see a really hungry Carroll team coming out, and I think they're going to play extremely well coming up on Friday night. I would not be surprised to see them play maybe one of their best games of the year on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, you come back home, it's your home opener, and then I think also as well, from what I had understood from kind of talking to a lot of people, that Gilbert and Spencer run almost identical offenses mm-hmm. there, and so I think that it kind of helps because you look at your film and you can say, this is what we did wrong against Gilbert. We can turn that around and change that against Spencer.
Clean it up a little bit. So some of the other matchups, Cam at Coon Rapids Baird. Is Cam what they used to be? Or?
No. They're talented, but they got just absolutely annihilated by what sounds like, according to Coach Burke, should be a really good Fremont Mills team. So I think Coon's got a really good chance to start the season 2-0. I like the change of putting Ethan Bauer in at Caden Oswald in at quarterback. You put your best athlete and you put the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. He's throwing the football pretty well. Didn't have to throw it a lot, but threw three times and threw two touchdown passes the other night in that game against Siouxland Christian. So, but it'll be more of a test for them than what Siouxland Christian was, but I think Coon still has a chance to roll in that game.
Audubon Griswold, St. Albert at IKM Manning. There's a couple of different matchups.
Yeah, Audubon hasn't played Griswold since they were 11-man, so it's been a while.
That has been a while.
Yeah, but I think Audubon just rolls. I just, after the way they dominated St. Mary's, I don't know if there's many teams, not saying nobody, but there's not going to be many teams on that schedule that are probably going to you know, push them very hard. They're going to be really explosive, I think, all season long.
Yeah, no, if Audubon plays the same way they did against Rems and St. Mary's, I think it's going to be, you're going to have to take a special group of kids and put them out on the field to be able to beat that Audubon team. And then the IKM Manning one I had just looked at before we got on here. Griswold kind of was almost in the same boat that ESAC had there. One of their guys wasn't on the field for week one and had suffered a big loss. So if IKM Manning can keep it rolling there too, I think that they can start the year out 2-0 as well.
Yeah, you know, St. Albert's going to come in off of a big loss on Friday night. You know, it's a proud program down there, and they always have good athletes. So those two teams played each other. It was a week 9 game, like 3 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. Down there. They threw that one together on week 9, and IKM Manning was able to go down and get the win that night. So hopefully they'll be able to move to 2-0.
Altaria at ESAC and South Central Calhoun at Ridgeview, the last games for next week.
Ridgeview's going to be pretty good, so that'll be a really good test for South Central Calhoun. I like, from what it sounds like, that they played on Friday night, so hopefully they can go out and play well. And then you've got that last game.
Altaria ESAC.
Well, I mean, Alta Aurelia's, I think, okay this year. They're not, you know, really good, but they're not kind of in that bottom tier there. But I think for ESAC, you know, they're going to have to kind of work on the up front there, get their pass protection down. From what you had said, the pass protection and the kind of rush defense was not kind of clicking on Friday night. So I think, from what I understand, if you can get that down, it can be a little bit of a different program there.
Yeah, and we'll hopefully find out early this week if Carson Schmidt's going to be back for them. That would be huge for them if they can get him back on the field, not just on the offensive side of the body, but he was one of the returning tacklers from a year ago as well.
By the way, shout out to Mason Nealon here, coming in prepared for the show. I mean, yes, he had scores and everything rolling in here. And I'm like, Blankman has never done this in like 20 years being on this show. So kudos.
Thanks,
to you, Mason.
Thanks.
Well, the reason I did it is because I went over there and I was like, ooh, I forgot most of the scores from Friday night. So let me type them up. And I was like, I know, John, you probably didn't see a lot of them. And I was like, I don't know, Jeff, if you had remembered a lot of them. So I was like, I'm going to grab the scores just so that we're ready to go.
You know, I will say
I was
this
down at Lake Rathbun. Didn't hear anything. Yeah.
When he walked in and had a couple of sheets of paper in his hand, my first thought went through, God, I hope he's not turning in a resignation.
Nope, not accepting. Not there. All right, that is KCIM Sports Rewind. Actually, we're going to be back with volleyball here coming up in a minute. It's brought to you by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
KCIM Sports Rewind, brought to you exclusively by St. Anthony Rehab Services. They do a terrific job. So if you've got any kind of nagging injuries or you just want to be a great athlete like Jeff Blankman was in high school, you know.
Yeah, long
he could
time
dunk
ago
the ball in high school. I'm going to need to see some video on that one. But Steve and all those guys down there, they do a great job.
You think they could do anything with you and I, John?
Nothing.
Mason's young enough,
nothing,
but you think they could?
Hey, I spent my weekend doing some gravel biking.
Yeah.
Up and down the hills. Man, my quads were like burning by the time I got up some of those hills. And I bike, you know, but it's like, that's a whole different
gravel
style
is,
of biking.
Yeah,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to do gravel.
It was a lot of uphill, and I was like, again with the uphill? Come on. But that's how I spent my weekend.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk a little volleyball. It's a big week coming up. Interesting matchup going on tonight with the Kemper Knights.
Yeah, taking on Ames over at Ames. We'll have Nick Brinks over there. It's actually a triangular, so Greene County going to be there as well. The Kemper Ames matchup is the final matchup of the night, scheduled to get underway at around 6:30. So that'll be about the time that Nick goes on with his pre-match coverage. Will be probably 10-15 minutes before they get underway, but that'll be on 93.7 KKRL. So,
So I mean, Greene County, if you're in that one, are you feel like you're sandwiched in between the big girls?
I mean,
kind of like, okay, you got Kemper and you got Ames. So.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully for them, they go over and play well in their two matches and take some positives out of it. But yeah, my guess is probably the most part of the crowd's probably going to be over there for that Kemper Ames matchup. So, and Kemper's playing well. They're 3-0 on the season, had the weekend off.
What happened over the weekend and what happened in the previous week in volleyball?
Well, Kemper played three games last week and picked up some wins. I think we talked about two of them on Monday with Van Meter and Underwood, and then on last week on Rewind, and then Tuesday they went down to Creston. Carroll opened up their season Saturday, went 3-2 down at the Harlan tournament, split with Harlan, beat Underwood, lost to Missouri Valley, beat Exiroc and Kimbleton. The Spartans did go 0-5 down there, but if you look at who they played, you know, they're playing a bunch of 2A and 3A and 4A schools, so especially the 3A and 4A schools is what their schedule was loaded, and they played them well. You had Esat County hosting their first ever volleyball tournament up there this past Saturday. I hung out up there.
Their first ever?
Yeah, their first since they become Esat County.
Wow.
Yep.
So, I would have thought that they would have hosted many.
Yeah, me too, and stuff. But I didn't ever remember going up for a tournament prior to this. But it was a well-run tournament. You know, tip your cap to Lance Wilhelm and to Eric McCullough and stuff with how that one was organized and done. Got a chance to watch Glidden Ralston, who went 1-2 on the day. Got a chance to watch Esac, who went 1-2. You felt for them because in their two losses, they won their first set and then dropped the next two, and both third sets were really tight. And then Arweva played well, especially against Esat County in their opening match, but they went 0-3 on the day. So it was kind of a rough day for our area schools, but it was a pretty tough tournament with Woodbury Central and Storm Lake and some of the other schools that were up there. And then Coon Rapids Baird, kudos goes out to them. They picked up a couple of wins last week against Audubon, and I forget who Panorama. The other was. Panorama, I knew Mason had typed that up. They went over to the Colfax Mingo tournament on Saturday, not taking a thing away from Coon. They went undefeated on the day. I don't know how strong the competition was because they hardly gave up double digits in any of the sets that they played. I think they, out of the eight sets they played, five of them, they held their opponents to single digits. So either Coon is going to be scary, scary good, which is very much a possibility, or the competition was probably not what Coach Lewis would have liked to have seen and had them pushed a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Coon's going to be really good because I looked at Audubon's schedule today after interviewing head coach Chris Derry, and I looked at it and I said, well, Audubon looks really good from what I had seen. And then Coon had beat them 2-0 in that triangular. And I know, obviously, some of the first matches that you play aren't going to be your, like, favorite matches to look at. But I look at it and I'm like, I mean, they go 2-0 at their own triangular, and then they go and they win that Colfax Mingo tournament. The competition probably at the Colfax Mingo not up to where it was for the Carroll and Exiroc Corn Kimbleton ones and Esac and all that. But I think it was a good kind of get out there, get some wins under your belt, get some confidence going into kind of the middle of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they played really well. That's a very, very talented team. Just when you dominated everybody in the tournament like they did, I think the most they gave up in a game was 13. You know, and stuff. So it just makes you wonder. But, you know, that it's good for them. They're sitting 6-0. I think the interesting one for me tonight, Glidden Ralston's now got four matches under their belt. IKM Manning wasn't scheduled to open up until next week, but luckily Glidden needed a match, and IKM Manning wanted to try and get something a little earlier. So those two have gotten together, and they're going to play tonight down in Manning. So IKM Manning will open up the season tonight. I think that's a team that's got a potential to be pretty good this year as well. South Central Calhoun played the other night. I know you had a chance to type those up, if I remember right, because I think that was when I was down in Kansas City.
Yeah, you're going to leave me again and go to Winterset tonight. But I mean,
at least tonight I'm working, right?
He just wants to go see the cover bridges. That's all. Take his selfies there.
Yes. So,
by the way, the ESAC tournament, if you got Lance Wilmholm organizing, man, it's going to be organized. I'm telling you.
It was organized, yeah.
He's
going
to organize the you-know-what out of it.
Yes.
So, good guy.
Yeah, he is a very good guy. And they're going to be hosting their first ever as ESAC County cross-country meet. Coming up Thursday over at, is it Spring Valley Golf Course? That's to the east there of the Lakeview and Wall Lake area. So I'll be heading up for that one on Thursday as well. So,
all right. So anything else to mention? I know that you guys have it all written up on the website and on the Sports Mobile app since it's the beginning of the fall sports season. Tell people where to find all the write-ups, all the action after the games are over.
Yeah, so you can just go to the main webpage at sports.1380kcim.com. We literally type them up on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report. If you want to look for your school, you can go to the school's drop-down menu and just click on your school, and everything that we've typed up or done interviews with your school will be there. Same thing with sports. If you want just volleyball or just football, you can go to those. You know, volleyball, we type up all the volleyball teams that play on one page, so you can just scroll on down through. But for the football, we type up actual individual stories and stuff, so those go right onto the individual page for that school. And sometimes we don't get those done till Sunday, kind of depending on when we're out covering stuff on Saturday. It's hard to sit around and type that stuff on Saturday. And then we also kind of have to wait sometimes for stats and results to come in from some of the coaches over the weekend as well. So,
all right. So this running overtime today is on me because I had to ask that extra question in there. So otherwise, you guys were right on time.
Yes, we were doing our best. I had the little calculator, the little stopwatch running on my phone.
It's once again just another overtime session of KCIM Sports Rewind. For Mason Nealon, Jeff Blankman, I'm John Ryan. Catch a podcast of this show available on the website in moments.